Harper Audio presents A Reunion of Ghosts, a novel by Judith Clare Mitchell, performed by Kirsten Potter and William Charlton. The only reason for time is so that everything doesn't happen at once. Albert Einstein. Suddenly all my ancestors are standing beside me. Be still, they say. Watch and listen. You are the result of the love of thousands. Linda Hogan. Dwell, A Spiritual History of the Living World. Part 1. The Ghosts. Chapter 1. From a distance, the tattoo wrapped around Delph's calf looks like a serpentine chain, but stand closer and it's actually 67 tiny letters and symbols that form a sentence, a curse. The sins of the fathers are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generations. We are that fourth generation, Lady V and Delph Alter. Three sisters who share the same Riverside Drive apartment in which they were raised. Three women of a certain age, those ages being, on this first day of summer 1999, 49, 46, and 42. We're also seven fewer Jews than a minion make, a trio of fierce believers in all sorts of mysterious forces that we don't understand, and a triumvirate of feminists who nevertheless describe ourselves in relation to relationships. We are a partnerless, childless, even petless sorority consisting of one divorcee, lady, one perpetually grieving widow, V, and one spinster. That would be Delph. When we were young women, with our big bosoms and butts, our black-rimmed glasses low on the bridges of our broad, beaky noses, our dark hair corkscrew curly, we resembled a small flock of intellectual geese in fright wigs, and people struggled to tell us apart. These days it's less difficult. Lady is the oldest, and now that she's 1 year shy of 50, she's begun to look it. Soft at the jaw, bruised and crepey beneath her eyes. She's the one who wears nothing but black, not in a chic New York way, but in the way of someone who finds making an effort exhausting. Every day, sweatshirt, jeans, sneakers, all black. I work in a bookstore, she says, and then I come home and stay home. Who do I have to dress up for? She wears no bra, hasn't since the 1960s, and these days her breasts sag to her belly, making her seem even rounder than she is. Who cares, she says. It's not like I'm trying to meet someone. Her hair, which she wears in a long queue held with a leather and stick barrette, is frighted with gray. V is the tallest, though we are all short, and the thinnest, though none of us is thin. Her face is unlined as if she's never had any cares, which, she says with good reason, is a laugh. She doesn't like black, prefers cobalts and purples and emeralds, royal colors that make her look alive even as she's dying. Isn't that what fashion is? She says, a nonverbal means of lying about the sad, naked truth. She wears no bra either, but in her case it's because she has no breasts. She has no hair, either. Chemo-induced alopecia, they call it. No hair, no eyebrows, no eyelashes. Her underarms, her legs, they're little girl smooth. As is the rest of her. Little girl smooth. Delph is still the baby. Even now, 2 years into her 40s, she looks much younger than the other two. She's the smallest, barely 5'1", and the chubbiest, and she still wears girlish clothes, white peasant blouses with embroidery and drawstrings, long...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?